Come on, speak to our hearts.
We will be in the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 7 today as we're continuing our series on the miracles of Jesus. And I'm glad how the Lord is directing the service, and I just see Him really reaching out with His arms of compassion and His love and His empathy and His sympathy. I know our church family has been in a hurting place lately, and many of you have been directly impacted by all the many things that have gone on. I'll speak some more about that in just a little bit, but it's just the providence of God that we are where we are today in Luke chapter 7. Pastor Brad nor myself can predict the future and can see where we would be on this very day. But we come to the first resurrection miracle of Jesus and how Jesus comforts someone in the midst of dealing with death and in the midst of dealing with suffering. In Luke chapter 7, Pastor Brad dealt with the first 10 verses last week, and we'll pick up in 11 through 17 today. And I want to just read through these verses, and then we'll come back and give comment to them. And starting in Luke chapter 7, verse 11, "It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier." This is an open coffin that they were carrying him on. "And they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he, Jesus, delivered him unto his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about." Let's look to the Lord in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for visiting your people here today in this congregation. And through the songs and through the testimonies and through the words, we know that your presence is here. And I know that you just want to encourage your people. As I said, we couldn't have planned this or picked this out if we had tried. But Lord, you have directed us here through your providence. And we know that you love us. We know that you care for us. We know that you are right there with us in and through the suffering that we may be walking through today. And I'm grateful for all that you are and all that you have done. I just pray that you would speak to your people through the power of your Holy Spirit today and draw those to yourself who do not yet know you. May they see the condition of their soul and come unto Christ who loves them and cares for them and desires to save them and set them free. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, this is Jesus' first resurrection miracle. And here I want us to first see, by way of application, that God is comforting His church. You know, here at Antioch, we've had 3 deaths in the last 2 weeks. Brother Granville and Brother Mack were charter members of the church. Brother Charles, I know he and Edith were here when we came, so I dare say 30 years or even more that they have been part of this church. And by the way, you know, you zoom out further and we look back over the last 2 years of COVID and everything else. Our flag is at half mast right now because we're reaching the millionth death due to COVID. And these kinds of things are happening in our country. Just think about the millions of people around this world who have stepped into eternity in the last couple of years. And we see that this is a time when people have been hurting, perhaps like never before in our lifetimes, the suffering, the pain, the loss, and all these things. But only God can bring this together like He has today to encourage you. I know God wants to speak to us as a church and encourage us, keep our eyes of faith on Him. And He's been doing that through the song service, through testimonies, through conversations, in many different ways. And I know God wants to just comfort His church today. And I notice here too, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus has compassion on this hurting widow. In verses 1 to 10 that Pastor Brad spoke out of last Sunday, here was this religious leader, and this centurion who built a synagogue for the Jews. He was well known, he was well liked. They said, if anybody deserves a miracle, it's this man. And this is the exact opposite of that. Here is a widow woman. She's at the bottom rung of society. And she's lost her husband. She's a widow. She's lost her only son. And that goes her income. Where is she going to be fed? How is she going to make ends meet? The crisis for widows in this day was very bleak and a very dim existence. And yet, Jesus takes notice of her. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't just take notice of the centurion and those that people say they deserve a miracle, Lord. They're such a nice person. No. Jesus looks around and sees all people. Here's a widow woman at the bottom rung of society from a town called Nain. And to my knowledge, and with the Bible study that I did, I don't see this place mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. So here's a nobody from nowhere, but yet Jesus sees her. Jesus goes to where she is and has compassion on her. Jesus could have easily just passed her by and said, you know, I'm going on somewhere else. I'm just going through Nain. Nobody went to Nain. They went through Nain. And they weren't going there as a destination. But Jesus knew that there was somebody He needed to meet. And I'm glad that Jesus knows how to come right where we are and meet us in our deepest need and meet us right where we are, even when we feel like we're at the bottom. You know, consider the plight of this woman, everything she's going through. She's broken, brokenhearted, and she's financially broke as well. She's fearful, she's anxious, she's worried. How am I going to survive? Where's my meals going to come from? I don't have anybody to provide for me, anyone to help me. She's hurting, she's grieving the loss of her son. And all the emotions are just piling up on her. And Jesus steps in to this impossible situation, and He does the impossible. And notice what it says in verse 15. Jesus raises him up in verse 14, and then verse 15. He that was dead sat up and began to speak, and He, Jesus, delivered him to his mother. Think about the emotions that are going on. No doubt she's wiping the tears from her eyes as she is now joyfully hugging her son again. He speaks again to her. It says that Jesus touched him. He stood still. Let me get to verse 15. He that was dead sat up and he began to speak. So he sits up and he also talks. He's just back to normal, just like he was before he passed away, and even better than he was before. It doesn't tell us, was he sick? Did he have an accident? The Scripture just doesn't tell us exactly what happened to him to cause him to die. But he is healed 100%. And here he is back with his mother. I love the fact that Jesus is the God of the impossible. And He's showing everyone right here that I am God. We'll get to John 11 later on when He raises Lazarus from the dead. But He says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Jesus came into that impossible situation and did the impossible. He does that right here. Again, for a nobody person in a nowhere town. And yet Jesus takes notice. You know, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what pain that you have been through. You may feel totally ignored by everyone around you. You may feel like nobody cares about you, like you don't know why everything is happening in your life the way that it is. But dear friend, I want you to know on the authority of God's Word that Jesus sees you right where you are. He's not overlooking you. He hasn't forgotten about you. It's not like He's cooking at a stove and He's trying to juggle a bunch of different pots and He just set you on the back burner and He forgot all about you and He's letting your life burn up and like you forgot about some pot sitting there on the stove. No, that's not Him at all. He's not working some switchboard in heaven, pulling out wires and trying to make sure He gets the right connection in the right place at the right time. and he's just all frazzled, and oh man, I totally forgot about Josh. He prayed to me a week ago and I never got around to that. That's not the picture of God at all. He is not that way. He is at eternal rest, and he is able just with a word to create the universe out of nothing. He just spoke and it came into existence. How much more then can he just speak, or just even the thought come and it is done, it's accomplished. He is the eternal God of all heaven and earth. He sees you. We struggle with understanding these things. No doubt this woman is struggling to understand, why am I going through these things? Why is this happening in my life? God stepped in at the right moment, at the right time. We can't always make sense of it. And it doesn't always seem to fit together just right. But God knows what He's up to. He knows what He's doing in our life. And you know, even this past week, we were here for Brother Charles's funeral at the church, and I spoke out of John chapter 11. And somebody in the family came up to me later and said, you know, I thought you were going to raise him right there during the service. And halfway joking, I said, no, I wouldn't bring Charles back here for anything in the world. I'd rather be where he is than to bring him back to this world and all the pain and the suffering and everything that he endured. You know, the thing is, when Jesus resurrected these people, they got sick and eventually they died later on in life. But we know with the last resurrection, as Jesus rose out of that grave with His resurrection body, that we will too have a body like that at the resurrection at the last day. God's going to call, and all the bodies of those who have died believing in Christ will be transformed into a resurrection body just like Jesus' resurrection body. A body that will never get sick, that will never age, no more aches, no more pains, no more doctor visits, no more pills, no more unexplained weight gain or weight loss or anything else, and no more hair falling out or turning gray. Mine's getting there real fast. And no more aging. None of that is going to happen in that eternal body that Christ is making for us and that He will call up at the resurrection. And our soul, which is with the Lord after death, will reunite with that body and we will inhabit that for all of eternity. And that's the God of the impossible doing that for us. The resurrection of Jesus is that truth that propels us to know that these things are reality. It's not just wishful thinking and hopeful thinking, but this is reality rooted and grounded in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has compassion upon this woman and reaches in to right where she is, in her hurt, in her pain, in her brokenness, and meets her right there. And He wants to do the same thing for every single one of you. You may be here and you're not a believer. You're living in spiritual deadness, spiritual brokenness. Jesus can meet you right where you are and transform you and transform that situation. You may be here as a believer and you are going through these difficult circumstances. And Jesus sees you and He has compassion on you and He loves you and He wants to minister to you. And no doubt He is doing that today, as I've already said. And I praise God for that. So I know that Jesus is comforting His hurting church today and He's showing us this through this passage. But beyond this text, as the rest of the chapter flows, this miracle and the one before it is used in verses 18 to 23. And let me just point this out to you quickly. Let's read 18 to 23, the very next verses in Luke 7. And so, as it says in verse 17, everybody hears about Jesus. And then in verse 18, and the disciples of John, this is speaking of John the Baptist, showed him all these things. They went and told John the Baptist all these things. Now, Luke is the only one who records this miracle of raising this young man from the dead, but Matthew records in Matthew chapter 11 what we're about to read, and I only mention that to simply say that Matthew is clear to point out that John the Baptist is sitting in prison at this point. So get the picture. Here's John the Baptist. He's had a meteoric rise in about a year's worth of ministry. Then he's arrested by Herod and he is thrown in prison. We know eventually, a little bit later on, he's going to be beheaded. He never makes it out of prison. And in that darkness, in that depth of discouragement, he calls out in verse 19, "And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Are you the one that's coming, or should we expect somebody else? He's having real doubts in this discouragement that he is dealing with. Is Jesus really the Messiah? You know, John the Baptist is looking for somebody to come onto the scene as a military hero and to be somebody that really takes charge and overthrows Rome and sets up his kingdom right then and right there, a very visible kingdom in front of everybody to see. But when Jesus comes in a different way, the suffering servant that would lay down his life for the price of salvation, many people begin scratching their heads and saying, is this what the Messiah is supposed to be like? Is this what the Messiah is supposed to be doing? And John the Baptist, in his brokenness, has a moment of doubt. Are you the one that should come, or should we look for somebody else? And verse 21, in that same hour, Jesus cured many of the infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Jesus points back to Isaiah chapter 35. I'm going to just turn there and read a little bit of this. The chapter is only 10 verses long. Let me just read it for you because it's so good. It's so encouraging, Isaiah 35. Jesus quotes from verses 5 and 6 and to answer John the Baptist's doubts. Isaiah 35 says this, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." He said he's going to come into a barren desert land and turn it into something that is vibrant and that will blossom like a rose. It shall blossom abundantly. Jesus said, "I've come to give them life and give it abundantly to them. And it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees." That's exactly what Jesus is doing to John the Baptist. He had grown weak. He had grown tired. He had had questions come up. Was this worth the sacrifice? Here I am, rotting in this jail cell. Was this worth it? Was Jesus the promised one? Jesus is encouraging him, "Strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." God, our deliverer. We know that Jesus is the Savior. He is the deliverer, the one who came to set us free from our sins. And he's reminding John the Baptist, comforting this hurting preacher in his lowest hours, telling him, "Yes, I am He. I am that one." As verse 5 says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the hart, as the deer, and the tongue of the dumb, the mute, will sing. Or in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons," that's jackals, "where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." It's going to be vibrant and flourishing. "And a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Jesus is just encouraging His people today. He was encouraging John the Baptist in his day that I am that one. Yes, you are believing in the right one. Yes, you are following the right one. Keep believing. Don't let your faith die out. And I believe God wants to say the same thing to us as a church family today. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep looking to Him. I know in our nation, we think that things are too far gone. And we see that, man, how could our nation keep going further and further and further away from God? It's impossible. It's an impossible situation. How can we fix all these things that we see going on? The immorality in our country and all the wickedness and open sin that is celebrated today. And how can we be going down, down, down like we are? Seems to be an impossible situation. But God can step in to impossible situations and can change and transform them in a moment. America may look like a desert to you. It may look like there's no hope for our country, but God can come in and turn it into a flourishing land once again. And not just for the nation, but for every individual person. I know many of you, as I look across, you've got people that you're praying for. People that you've been praying for a long time. And God can still work in that impossible situation. He can still answer that prayer. I know that He is speaking to their hearts. Don't doubt that God has forgotten them. God hasn't forgotten about your prayer. God hasn't forgotten about your loved one that you're calling out to Him. Don't give up praying. Don't quit praying for them. And God knows what He's doing. And I believe that He is working in many hearts in ways that we can't perceive, in ways that we can't understand, but He is always at work. And He loves your loved ones that you're praying for more than you do. You say, that's impossible for me to even fathom. How could God love them more than I do? He does. He loves them with an everlasting love, a perfect love, a love that never stops, that never ends, and that is completely without any bounds. And He wants them to know Him. You know, that's why Peter says when talking about the return of Jesus, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Even in the first century, people were asking that question, where is Jesus? Why hasn't He come back yet? And I'm going to paraphrase. He basically says, don't count that as God is just being neglectful or that He's forgotten you. He hasn't. He is being patient with people. God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why Christ hasn't returned yet. He's given people extensions of patience, extensions of grace, extensions of mercy, extensions of love. We don't deserve that. We don't in any way, shape, or form deserve even an extra day of His grace. And yet He is giving it to us. He doesn't want any to die without Him, but that all should come to repentance. And that's why He hasn't returned yet. That's why He is waiting to come back, because He's waiting for us to get right with Him. He doesn't want to see us die without Him. He doesn't want to see us die in our sins, but He wants to set us free from that and come to Him. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you're here as a believer and your heart is hurting, like I know that many across our congregation are, and God, I believe, wants to just encourage you today and call you to just trust in Him. Continue to follow Him by faith, step by step by step. You may not see the whole end of the pathway in front of you, but God knows how to direct you step by step by step. Just trust Him. Just follow Him one step at a time, and He will make your pathway clear. Cling to Him in these moments. Run to Him in these moments, because there's a temptation to run away from Him when we are in suffering, when we're in pain. The devil comes, just like he did to John the Baptist, and say, it's not worth it. You've spent your life for nothing. And you followed this Jesus, and look where that's landed you. The devil likes to whisper those temptations into our ear when we are at our lowest and weakest moments. But that is not the case. That is not the truth. And Jesus gives the answer back to John the Baptist that, yes, I am He. keep following me, keep trusting in me. Look and see all the things that I'm doing as I'm bringing in the kingdom. And that's exactly what he wants to say to each one of us today as well. And number two, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, I believe that you're like this widow woman. You are in a place of great loss. You may be at the bottom. You may be at the end of your rope. You can look to Jesus. He wants to save you. Just like this dead man, he wants to resurrect you. He wants to give you new life and breathe into you the hope that you are desperately looking for. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. And he wants to resurrect your soul even today, even right now. And I love the fact that it doesn't give us an answer in Luke or Matthew how John the Baptist responds. What did he do after that? The Bible doesn't tell us. Why do I love that? Because it leaves the ball in our court. When we are faced with that same question, we got to respond. Am I going to believe? Am I going to follow the Lord? Am I going to keep trusting in Him? That's why I believe it doesn't include His response to this, because we all have to give a response to that as well. So let me just close with asking this. What is your response to these truths? Are you going to respond with faith, believing in this one who loves you and cares for you and wants to resurrect your life, wants to be there with you and for you at all times? Or are you going to turn away from Him? We can't straddle the fence. We can't vacillate back and forth and back and forth. We've got to go one way or the other. Which way will you go? Let's close in a time of prayer, and Pastor Brad will come to give the invitation. Heavenly Father, I thank You for how You have directed our hearts today. And I know You are going before us, even in this series of messages. You knew what we would need from Your Word on this day. And I thank You for lining up all these things. That's just more evidence to me of Your love for us, Your compassion for the people of this church, and Your concern for all those who are hurting. Lord, I pray for the lost that may be here under the sound of my voice, whether it be online or right here in our auditorium, that You would speak to their hearts, reveal to them their condition without You. Show them how much You love them. Show them the deadness of their sins and the need for a spiritual resurrection. And thank You for Jesus who died on the cross and rose again in that resurrected body to pay our way of salvation and to show us that eternal life is found in a person. And He is the living Savior of all heaven and earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that through simple faith, they would trust in Jesus. Call out to Him today. Ask Him to forgive them of their sins and to become their Savior today. Resurrect their spirit and soul this very day. Lord, I pray secondly for Your people who are here. They know that they are saved, but they're hurting. They're going through a deep valley. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's an attack on their faith and their confidence in You. Lord, I pray that whatever the battle is in their heart and in their mind and in their soul today, that You would speak to them, that You would call them to keep believing in You, to keep trusting in You, to ignore the voices that call them to doubt, and to pay attention to Your voice as calling them to trust and to see You at work, even in situations that seem to be impossible. Lord, I know that You are the God of the impossible. And I also want to pray for this tent crusade. We may be tempted to think, what's the point? America's too far gone. But God, I know that You are the God of the impossible. You can step into impossible countries, impossible situations, and shine the glorious light of the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray Your blessings would rest upon that meeting this week, next week. God, may You breathe through that place in a special way. May You breathe through our community in a special way all across this Tri-Cities region and beyond. May many souls come to know Jesus Christ. May many people get right with You, whether it be there or in our churches or whatever the case may be. However You choose to work, God, we just trust You. We place it all into Your hands. We place our lives into your hands today. In Jesus' name, amen.